Hello, welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. And if you're new to the program, I've got all kinds of free resources for believers, for leaders, for pastors, teachers, and again, all of it absolutely free. Just go to my website, which is at PastorVic.com or PastorVicsNuggets.com. Either way, we'll get you there. But let's move on with the subject for today. As I've been saying, the gospel is the good news that has the potential to change a life and change a person's eternal destination. When we talk about the gospel, we're talking about Jesus and what he's done and continues to do in the life of a believer. When we share, teach, or preach about Jesus, our focus should be on the kingdom of God, the cross, the blood, and the name of Jesus. There's power and authority in these terms if you can identify with Jesus Christ and what he accomplished for you. Today we're going to be looking at another gospel term, the Lamb of God. Now, in general, we see the use of the Lamb in before the old covenant, as well as in the Old Covenant and certainly in the New Covenant. But in every case, it's used as an expression to have to do with reconciling with God, to bring a broken relationship back. Now, we see very clearly in the practice of making offerings and sacrifices as a means of reconciliation with God in the Old Testament. We see that throughout. These sacrifices had specific purposes, and it consisted of two types of sacrifices. There was the burnt offering, where an animal was sacrificed, and then there was the grain offering. The burnt offerings were sacrifices of animals and often involved lambs. By the way, the term lamb can mean a lamb or a goat in the Bible. That's actually the same word is used for both. Prior to the covenant the Lord made with the Israelites through Moses, which became known as the Mosaic Covenant or the Law, most pagan people worshiped pagan gods and other worship, but it was done often as a means of appeasement. And by appeasement, I mean that when they worship, you know, before the covenant of the law, the heathens would make sacrifices and worship, trying to prevent a capricious God from becoming angry and punishing the people. Sacrifices were also made to make up for the sins committed in the eyes of these heathen gods. Heathens would also try to manipulate their gods with sacrifices for favor. To some of the pagan religions, the greatest sacrifice was human sacrifice. But they also sacrificed various animals, including lambs. Often their worship, the worship of the heathens, and their worship and their obedience was motivated by fear and not love for the pagan gods. And then we have the coming of the law. With the covenant of the law through Moses, the Lord established an intricate system of sacrifices and offerings. All the sacrifices and offerings were not made as an appeasement to hold back an angry God, but they were made as an effort to reconcile with the Lord when an individual or a group strayed from the covenant. These atoning sacrifices were the means in which God would deal with the Israelites' sin and provide a reliable system that the Israelites could use to maintain their right relationship with God. Again, it's so important to recognize that when these offerings were made, these sacrifices were made, it's not because the Israelites were hoping to appease a volatile and angry God. It was about reconciliation. Now, the book of Leviticus describes several offerings that the people of Israel were commanded to perform, which involved the use of a lamb as a burnt offering. And here are just a couple of the important examples. The first one we see was known as the peace offering, and we see that in Leviticus chapter 3. Now, the peace offering had three possible purposes. The first was thankfulness for God's provision and protection. The second is known as a votive offering, which means that when a person or a group of people made a vow unto the Lord, they made a sacrifice to show that their commitment to fulfill the Lord to the Lord, that they were serious about it. And three, the peace offering. And this could also be a spontaneous expression of joy and worship to the Lord. The second type of offering was the sin offering, and we see that in Leviticus chapter 4. Sometimes the sin offering is called the guilt offering. Remember the Hebrew law, or the Mosaic law, remember that it consisted of the first five books of the Old Testament. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Altogether, they were called the Torah. And in the Torah are instructions on how to approach God, how to worship Him, how to interact with fellow Jews, and how to interact with strangers or non-Jews. As you can imagine, there were many rules and regulations alongside the Ten Commandments. Including the Ten Commandments, some calculate that there were 613 of them. The sin offering was used when one of these laws was, here's a key word, unintentionally broken, accidentally broken. The third type of offering was known as the trespass offering. And this was also called the guilt offering. And we see that in Leviticus chapter 5. The trespass or the guilt offering was required when a person unintentionally violated some of the Lord's holy things, things that were dedicated to the Lord. Holy things would normally refer to those things that had been, as I said, dedicated to the Lord and would be found in the sanctuary. But it also applied to the portion of the offering that were normally reserved for the priest. The trespass offering was also brought when a person had committed a violation against another person. In this case, the offender had to repay the damages in addition to making the animal sacrifice of a lamb. The trespass or guilt offering is primarily about making reparations or restitutions. It demonstrates the seriousness of violations against God, even accidental ones, and against one's fellow man. Another reference to the lamb, of course, is the Passover lamb. We see that in Exodus chapter 12 and 13. When the Israelites were in bondage in Egypt, the Lord sent Moses as a mediator to deliver them from slavery. The Pharaoh of Egypt, as you know, was reluctant to let them go free. So the Lord sent 10 plagues to convince Pharaoh to let the people go. Through the plagues, the Lord was showing that He was far greater than all of the Egyptian gods put together. The final plague was the death of every firstborn male in Egypt. And this included animals as well. However, God provided an avenue of escape from this tragedy to the Israelites and to anyone else who would obey the Lord. The Lord instructed the Israelites to kill a lamb, take its blood and paint it on the lintel and the doorpost of every home. So that when the angel of death came to fulfill God's promise, it passed over, that's where we get the term Passover, it passed over every home that was marked by the blood of a lamb. You see, it was the Passover lamb that protected the Israelites from the death angel, who passed over all of Egypt and killed all of the firstborn males in the land. The final example that I want to take a look at in terms of a sacrifice was known as the scapegoat. And this is found in Leviticus chapter 16, beginning in verse 8. And the scripture says, "Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats." Two goats were involved. "One lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering." We mentioned that earlier. "But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement for it, and to let it go as a scapegoat into the wilderness." So what's this about? Well, on the Day of Atonement, a high holy day, the high priest would bring two goats. One goat was sacrificed as a burnt sin offering unto the Lord, but the other goat was set aside as the scapegoat. And the high priest would lay his hand on the head of the goat and transfer all the sins of Israel upon it when it released it into the wilderness. In other words, a scapegoat took on all the sins of Israel. The idea being that the scapegoat carried the sins of Israel away, never to return. Thus, Israel atoned for its sin. Now, those are examples of the sacrifice of a lamb in the Old Testament, and even prior to the Old Testament. But we also see the lamb used in the New Testament as a means of reconciling with God. The one offering of Jesus, the Son of God, once and for all who would believe upon him. The book of Hebrews was written for Jewish Christians, and therefore written from a Jewish perspective. And the author of the book of Hebrews identified Jesus as the great high priest, Hebrews 9:11, who replaced the system of animal sacrifices with a once-for-all sacrifice of himself, Hebrews 9:12 through 28. In the light of Christ's full and final offering for sin, Paul urged all Christians to present your bodies a living sacrifice, Romans 12:1. Remember when John the Baptist first saw Jesus approaching him? He prophetically proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And this is testified in all four Gospels. You'll see this in John 1:29, in Matthew 3:13, in Mark 1:9, and in Luke 3:21. Just as a side note, in the book of Revelations, the term Lamb of God is used 24 times to describe Jesus. The Old Testament law, which was for the Jews, was replaced by the new covenant of grace, which was for all. Jews, Gentiles, slave, free, man, woman. The old covenant law, which is what the Old Testament Bible reveals, is but a shadow of the real found in Jesus Christ. The new covenant is called new in contrast to the old covenant or the Mosaic covenant. You know, just check out Jeremiah 31, beginning in chapter in verse 32. And also Hebrews 8, 6-13. The new replaces the old because the old Mosaic covenant was limited. The old covenant could only point to the things that the new covenant fulfilled. And that is that a child of God could live a victorious life consistent with the righteous commands and the character of God. The new covenant fulfilled all previous covenant revelations, but it also established something infinitely greater. It established a Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Thus, it exceeds all previous covenants. All that was promised by God, all that had been revealed in the previous covenants by prophetic foreshadows, was now completed and embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. There was much that the prior covenants could not do or were inadequate to perform. For instance, the old covenant couldn't open a way of salvation as a gift of grace to all people. The old covenant couldn't change a person's heart or nature. The old covenant couldn't give every person who received God's salvation the power, the ability, and the gifting through the Holy Spirit that would enable them to lovingly obey God and be transformed from within and live victoriously. All that couldn't be done by the old covenants is now fully realized and completed in the new covenant. And it's all available through Jesus Christ and the person of the Holy Spirit now living within every believer. Jesus, by his death and resurrection, was the Lamb of God, so that he alone would become the peace offering, the sin offering, the trespass or guilt offering, the Passover lamb, and the scapegoat for everyone who would put their trust in him. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In closing, let me remind you of a story about Abraham, the father of faith. God the Father gave us a type or a shadow of what Jesus would do when in the Old Testament, Abraham was told by the Lord to take his son Isaac and sacrifice him on the mountains of Moriah. Beginning in Genesis 22, verse 2, it states, Then he said, the Lord said to Abraham, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. And so Abraham was faithful and he took his son Isaac to the mount. But on the way, Isaac asked a question. We see that in Genesis 22:7. Isaac asked, Look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? To which Abraham responded, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. That's Genesis 22:8. Now here's the wonderful truth about this episode of Abraham and Isaac. The Lord did provide a sacrifice at just the right moment. And we see this starting in Genesis 22:11. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, As Abraham was about to thrust a knife into his son's heart, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham took the ram and offered up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Jesus is your Lamb of God. And he offered himself so that you would have eternal life and live your life on earth as a son of the Most High. God has demonstrated and proven his great love for you by giving his own son so that you might have life and life more abundantly. All the Lord expects from you is to learn how to walk with Jesus by learning to be led by his Holy Spirit, walking in truth and righteousness. Jesus has fulfilled all the Old Testament sacrifices, all the offerings, and all the prophecies. All that the Lord expects from you now, we can find in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or worship. And then, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has demonstrated his love for you by giving Jesus as a sacrifice for you, so that you wouldn't have to. And so, be blessed with this knowledge. Be assured with this knowledge. Be confident and bold. And so, all right, now I just want to pray a blessing. Lord, I just bless every listener, everyone who's watching. Lord, just bless them over, bless them abundantly as they reach into your truths, the truths that you've established for them, and they live in the freedom that you have given them. And so, Lord, we thank you that you gave your son for us, and we are humbled by your great love. We thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you the next time.